reading to you from the second chapter of Romans and with the fifth verse. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the days of wrath and revelation of the righteousness judge of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic and gave my heart to Christ. Over 55 years ago, in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been trying the best way I know how to do that. Oh, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I'm sure I'll have to admit I've not done everything that God's called me to do. I know I haven't. I wished I had of. But I tell you one thing, I love the Lord, and I know what He did for me 55 years ago when I fell upon my knees and confessed that I was a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. And boy, howdy, when He called me to preach, I sure did not expect that. But oh, I'm so glad He did. I am so glad. I just love to tell men and women and boys and girls about the love of God and what He's did in my life. I really do. And I love to go to prison. Well, I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the fourth chapter of Mark, and let's begin reading with the 35th verse. And on that day, when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the multitude, they took Him along with Him, just as He was in the boat, and other boats were with Him. And there rose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. And He Himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion, and they awoke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And being aroused, He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And He said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the seas obey Him?" Father, in the precious name of Jesus, there are people listening to this tonight who are going through some real storms. And, oh God, I pray that this will encourage their hearts to let them know that they're not alone. You said you'd never leave us alone, you'd never forsake us. And so tonight, Lord, speak to troubled hearts, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what manner of man is this? Well, they had spent all day long preaching. And I want you to know, dear friends, if you think preaching isn't hard on your body, you've never done any preaching. It is hard. Boy, I tell you, when I preach one-hour service, because I don't preach a full hour, 3 one-hour service at penitentiary, I am bushed, I am whipped, I am tired. Well, that's what Jesus and them had doing. The crowds were so great, He had to get into the boat in order for them to listen to what He said. Just out from the land, He taught them, and said here in verse 1, "And He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very great multitude." Well, friends, listen. When Jesus is around, I'll tell you right now, it's a joy. Years and years ago, I used to listen to a preacher from South North Carolina, and Dr. Vance Havner. Oh, I loved to hear that man preach. Oh, and he was deep and he was strong. Well, one time, my mission that I was a director of in North Dakota, we was to go to Roanoke, Virginia, to this big mission convention. Well, I want you to know we had the privilege, and guess who the speaker was? Dr. Vance Havner. My stars, I just about jumped out of my shoes. Well, I had a chance to go up and speak to him, and I said, Brother Havner, if you ever get up to North Dakota, I'd love, because he spoke around, I said, I'd love to have you come at my rescue mission and speak to our men and women. And, you know, friends, he gave me a business card that had been, I'll bet there was 15 different phone card numbers on that. He just crossed them out when he moved. He said, you know, brother, he said, I didn't get married till I was 70-some years old. He said, I never did learn to drive a car. But boy, howdy, when he got up to speak, he got their attention, just like when Billy Graham preaches. Oh, listen, I sit there and my eyes would just get full of tears as I hear that great man expound on the Word of God. And you know what I liked about Billy Graham? He didn't have a big head. He didn't even have seminary. A lot of people don't know that. He never had seminary. He had Bible college, and he pastored a church once or twice, and so did I. But anyway, this one, Jesus spoke, people come from miles around, and the crowd listened. All gathered along the beach, and some sit on the sand as close to the water as possible. Some let the waves creep over their feet to get relief from the heat of the day. Up the beach, some sat on driftwood and remains of boats. Now listen, friends, he didn't have a microphone, but he had a voice that would penetrate any listening heart. They heard about the sower and the lighted candle, the mustard seed. That is like the kingdom of God. Finally, Jesus and the disciples are all alone. Now, the adventure begins. The invitation, the storm, and the miracle. Well, what manner of man is this? He is a man who invites us to travel with him. 35 and 36, it says, verses. And on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them, just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. Now listen, they got in that old boat, and they started to cross that old sea. And boy, howdy, he said, let's pass over to the other side. Now get this. This is an invitation loaded with promises. The promise of his fellowship on the journey, and the promise of his fellowship on the other side, the promise of safe passage to the other side. How like the Christian life this is. Here on this shore we are often weary. Jesus invites us to travel with him to the other side. Now, those who accept his invitation will arrive safely. He's a man who is with us in all storms of life. Verse 37. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Friends, listen. I spent 18 months during World War II at a Dutch Harbor, Alaska. We repaired submarines. I was in the Navy, and we repaired submarines. And you know what? You take a day like, oh, say, it's 50 degrees, which is pretty warm for Dutch Harbor, Alaska. And all of a sudden, we would get a wind called a willywall. That's what they call it in Alaska. And that wind could get as high as 105, 110 miles an hour. Now, that is scary. Well, you didn't walk out on the deck. But if you did walk on the deck, you had a rope or a line that you hung on so that you wouldn't fall or blow over the side. And he said, and there arose a great storm of wind. Well, what a great storm it must have been. Now, listen, friends. I don't know about you, but you see in North Dakota, and we had storms, and here in Colorado, we have terrible storms. We have tornadoes. The most tornadoes this year that we've ever experienced in the history of our state. And we have winds and we have thunders and lightning. You know how many people are killed? I forget, they said. How many people that are killed by lightning in North, right here in Colorado? Well, the waves beat unto the ship, and his powerful and devastating upheavals of nature can be. Ooh, how powerful. It was so always, and of course it wasn't always so that way, the earth suffers from the fall of man. Now, the earth is travail, earthquakes, etc. You know what, friends? We've been having a whole heap of earthquakes lately, haven't we? I mean, over in I've been all over that country over there during World War II of our ship. We went over there, Guadalcanal, Philippines, New Guinea. And boy, howdy, did you know that in Japan, and I've been all over Japan, did you know that a lot of those islands are made from earthquakes underseas? And those cotton-picking things come right up out of the ocean. Pretty soon there's trees growing on them. And it's scary. And you know what? I have been in several good earthquakes, and they do scare you to pieces. I and my wife and a preacher and his wife were walking down in the basement of the new Ohtani Hotel, which is a Twin Tower hotel. And we were walking along, was going to buy some gifts, and all of a sudden, my stars in the morning, that old thing began to groan and creak. It's a brand new building, too, Twin Towers. And this lady gets on the announcing radio and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we are now experiencing a earthquake in downtown Tokyo. But do not be alarmed. This building is earthquake-proof." Now, I don't know if you know what that means, but they went down 100 feet under the ground and mounted that thing so that building actually could sway, really sway. Well, and I said, "Yeah," and I said, "and the Titanic was unsinkable." But it did sink, didn't it? No, storms are scary, and I've been in earthquakes in Washington and Oregon. One time I was carpentering, and I was putting siding on this house, and one of the owners, he was also carpentering too, and he staggered out of that house just as white as a sheet. I said, "What's the matter, bud?" He said, "Oh, I think I'm having a heart attack." Well, it wasn't a heart attack, it was a earthquake, and that old building was rocking and rolling. And well, and then one time this in the same city, no, this was up in Washington. I had went down to the lumber company to get some lumber for the church, and I no more had got in there, and I thought it sounded like a train coming down the track at a miles an hour. And that building began to shake, and this lost man said, "Where shall we go?" And I started singing, "Where should we go but to the Lord?" He said, "That's not funny." I said, "I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. No, I'm not." And you know, we went outside and the ground was heaving. I mean, like ocean waves. And the telephone wires were twinging and twanging. And the stores were losing all their canned stuff and the grocery stores. Well, it is scary, but you know what? We're having more and more every day. I don't understand. I don't know what it means. But there's a lesson here. Storms come to disciples. Yet they were traveling with the Son of God, Jesus. They were with him. And Jesus got so tired, that showed his humanness, even though he was a Son of God. He got tired after all this preaching. So he went back in the stern of the ship and got on a pillow and lay down, went to sleep. Well, this is when the storm hit. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And you know, those guys were seamen. They knew how to run a ship, a boat. They knew what to do. They weren't novices. And all of a sudden, they kind of thought maybe they're going to go down. But they had obeyed Jesus, yet the storms come. You may be passing through a storm, though you're his child. Oh, my friends, I've been going through the last 2 months. I've been so sick at times. My blood sugar goes up and it goes down. And I'm not complaining, but, oh, I'd like to feel better. Oh, boy, I'd like to feel better. Because when I go to prison for a three-hour service, I want to be sharp. I want to be able to tell those men what Jesus can do in their lives. Well, let me ask this. What was the purpose of these storms? Well, Jonah's storm, to bring him from backsliding. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He didn't like the Ninevites. And he said, I don't care. So he gets on a ship after God called him to go there to preach. He took the off and went the other way. Well, guess what happened? You don't run from God, but he'll catch you. Oh, yeah. And so the men in the ship couldn't understand what it is, and Jonah told them it was him. And so they bundled him up and tossed him in the sea. And guess what happened? An old fish swallowed him lock, stock, and barrel. Now, for 3 days and three nights, that Jonah suffered. You bet your life he suffered. With those seaweed and dead fish floating around his face. And in 3 days, oh, he decided he could possibly make that trip to Nineveh after all. Isn't it strange how sometimes God will change your mind? He's had to change my mind many times. Well, he went over there, and brothers and sisters, he preached repentance. And the old king and them, they did repent. They got down in sackcloth and ashes. That's what America needs to do today. Oh, how America needs to repent of their sins. Now, every month or so, homosexuals and lesbians parade up and down the street, say we're gay and we're proud. And it just makes me want to vomit. It makes me so sick. Do they realize, dear friends, that they're going to burn in hell with that? You said, Cecil, you've got to be kidding. No, I'm not. No, man with man, woman with man. God warned them. And we preachers and Christians. Now, I don't mean we should beat them up. Oh, friends, no, 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 no. That's not right. We need to love them, but we don't need to love their sin. And boy, they're trying to get our kids involved in that. And you see where Obama got up there and spoke the other day to the lesbians and told them, we got to help you people. Don't say, don't, in the service. Friends, let me tell you what. I know a little bit about homosexuality. Not that I was one, but I'll tell you what. Aboard my ship, one night I woke up, and all the battle lights were off in our compartment. It was darker than, you couldn't get any darker. And this guy came in there, and I felt somebody's hand under my blanket. And I took my foot and I kicked him in the head, even though I couldn't see him. Then he run out, and when he opened a battle hatch between the compartments, I saw who it was. The next morning, I went to the executive officer and reported it. And he said, well, yeah, you better be honest. If you're telling a lie and we find out that you lied about this boy, you're going to go suffer his sentence. I said, well, I'm not lying, and I knew who it was. So don't you tell me that they don't do things to people when they're homosexuals and they're in the service. They will not behave. You can bank on it. Well, we need to talk to them about Christ because he's the only hope for the God. Now, Paul's storm is to open new doors for witness. Now, the disciples' storm is, or was, to test their faith. But Jesus was with them in the storm. Now, he is a man is up for the occasion, verse 38 and 40. And he himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we perish? And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Hush, be still. That's all he had to say. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. Wow. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" Jesus was with them. Man alive. Well, he was asleep and he was weary and he was tired. Now look at Isaiah 40:28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable." Oh, listen, friends. He knows exactly what you're going through tonight. He sure does. And he arose and he said, there would be a calm, and there was. The waves ceased. The sea flattened. The moon broke through the clouds, and the only sound were the slight movement of the boat and the swift beating of the disciples' hearts. What manner of man is this? Friends, during World War II, my ship was in the North China Sea, the USS Gage, APA 168. I say that with reverence. I love that ship, and I love the crew, and I loved officers. We had some brave men on. I know one time in Okinawa that one of our ensigns dove off in the heavy sea and saved two of our shipmates. Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, we were on the North China Sea with a bunch of APAs and AKAs, and this big storm came up, typhoon. Now, I can't remember. It seemed to me like it was 3 days. And I never prayed so hard in my life, and I was a lost man. I didn't know Jesus. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know Jesus, and I sure wasn't saved. They said they were 100-foot waves. I don't know. Our ship was only 550 feet long. But boy, howdy, I'm telling you, when that thing go up and then drop down that wave, it jar your liver. And up in the wheelhouse, there's an indicator right before the helm there, and it shows you the roll of the ship. And when that thing would go to one peg, that's as far as it's supposed to go without that thing rolling over. And then it'd go back on the other side. I'm telling you, friends, I was so scared. We had a guy up in the crow's nest. And he couldn't get out for 3 days. We didn't have much to eat either. I think we had sandwiches. Well, friends, Jesus was indeed a man. And I read in Hebrews 4:14-16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confessions. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with our confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in the time of need. Do you have a need tonight, friends? Are you going through a tough time? Well, listen, I'm going to tell you what. You need to draw nigh to Jesus. You need to draw nigh to Jesus in here right now. If you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. But if you're not born again, you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, I'll tell you what. If you get a little tugging at your heart tonight and you say, man, I'd like to know this Jesus that'll go through every storm with me tonight, go ahead and bow your head to me right now and pray this powerful prayer. Don't pray it unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Lord, come into my heart tonight and save me and help me to live a better life. Help me to help others and win souls in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you go to heaven or not. That's the truth. Well, if you'd like to talk to me and you can't afford to call me collect. I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Thank you.
is blessed Savior. Since he cleansed and made me whole,
dear friends. For the past half hour, your host has been Cecil Moe. And listen, if you're going through some storms tonight, turn your face toward Jesus. He does care. Oh, he casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He knows what you're going through, and he wants to help you, but he wants to hear from you. First of all, you need to trust him as your Savior. Then you have all the right in the world to go to him as a child of the King. Because your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, and you have a new citizenship. Yours is now in heaven and on earth. Well, listen, friends, please continue to pray for my health. I'll start getting over these dizzy spells, and my blood sugar will go normal, my blood pressure. I want to do a few more things before God takes me over, if possible. Oh, I do. I want to go into prison, and I want to help these other ministries overseas. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet, keep looking out for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.